Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove between the demo and the ready room. Hey, this Friday they got all new music happy hour going on, 10% off all new purchases, and you can check out new records in from the Cave Singers, Cyndi Lauper, Sorority Noise, 10,000 Maniacs, Moreland and Arbuckle, and a whole lot more. They also have free Four Hands beer for those of age, and they do a lot of live in stores over there as well. Next one being Sunday, May 8th. You can come hang and spend the afternoon with the Scandaleros, 2 to 4 p.m. at Music Record Shop. So find more information at their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages, and musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
This is Toe Fire Tribe. And you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah.
Put your feet in the dirt, feel the cool ground, open yourself up to what's all around. Grasp a hold of the earth, the heart it slows down. What once was lost can now be found. We're all stuck in this space, searching for our own style of grace. We're all stuck in. It's some kind of race. Walls they collapse, air drifts away. Lose all your burden you feel day to day. From fire to ash, keep the demons in. life like it's some kind of race.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Venice Cafe in St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Toe Fire Tribe. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm excited, one, to get to meet all of you, but two, this is my first time in at Venice Cafe. I was wandering through as we ventured back here to the boat bar where we're recording, and really, really neat place. I've always heard really good things about it, you know, all the mosaic tiles and all the stuff. I mean, a lot of great music plays down, you know, all these guys that play down here and stuff. And I don't know what it was, but never been able to make a show down here and things. And it's a first timer, so
awesome.
This is one of my favorite places.
Yeah, it's a great place.
They put a lot of work in back here over the years.
It's always evolving.
It's a good place to play Seek and Find.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. I look at all the tile work, and I'm like, man, this must have took them forever. Like, it just looks like there's so much detail, you know. It's like it just can't imagine all the effort that went into it.
There's been a bunch of incarnations of it, too, you know.
Yeah.
They really did a lot of this, the bead tile work, like, just a few years back, really. It's been pretty cool to see it, like, change over the years. You got to check out the inside upstairs sometime, too. It's pretty crazy.
My tour. You guys will be here this weekend, right?
Saturday
the
7th.
So people can come check it out if you haven't been down here yet, to come out and hang out with everybody and check out
Venice. Always good live music here too.
And actually this weekend they're just going to be opening this back section and the boat bar and everything this weekend, the food that they do. So it'll be full swing this weekend, so it's definitely a good weekend to get out here.
Yeah, very cool.
So I was saying, I don't really know a lot about the group as a whole. I've met Matt over a while back through Hillary Fitz and stuff. Actually, before we do that, we should probably go around and everybody say hi and introduce themselves. So you recognize all of our voices, but you guys want to start?
Sure. Matt Flory, play upright with Toe Fire.
My name's Shelly. I play the drums.
My name is Chris Helmick, and I play the guitar and write the songs and sing.
And he is Toe Fire.
That's
and
true.
I am Toe Fire.
I'm Colin, and I play guitar.
That was funny.
I didn't feel awkward. I'm sorry.
But like I was saying, I met Matt probably a little over a year ago or something through Hillary Fitz and playing out with them and Drew Lance and stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I've seen you with Grass-Fed Mule. And we were kind of talking a little bit off mic, but it seems like everybody's got like four or five projects that they're a part of and stuff in this town. So it's cool to see everybody staying busy.
Me and Matt are in a couple projects together, and we've been in projects for a while, so we've been playing. Yeah.
Since when? Like 2008 or something?
It's like 2007, 2008. Something like that. We were in Elemental Shakedown together and did that band for a while, and we've kind of branched off. We've been playing in the Brian Ranney band together too, and we've been doing this project as well.
Yeah. How long's Toe Fire been up?
Maybe like 2 years.
Has it been that long?
Maybe not quite 2 years. It kind of started out with me doing a solo project here at the Venice. I had a monthly gig here, and I would just invite friends that I had. And I had met Colin and Shelley going to school for music therapy, because they're both, Colin's a new music therapist.
Yeah.
Shelley's well on her way to becoming one.
Intern glory.
I'm a music therapist by trade. So we all knew each other and had done a lot of stuff in school. And so I'd invite them out to play sometimes. And I've always played with Matt. And there was one night I think it was me, Colin, and Matt. We played a show. And We're just like, wow, this, we got something here. This sounds really good.
Yeah, that was over at the Shanty, wasn't it?
And I talked to Shelly, yeah. And I talked to Shelly about it, and she was very much on board with the idea, and she, like, wanted to come out and check it out and play with us, and we just did one of my monthly gigs here as a band, kind of together, not calling ourselves Toe Fire Tribe or anything, and it just kind of felt right, and everything fell into place.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I always tell people, like, one time this dude Chris from school was like, hey, come play drums, and then I did, and he was like, hey, you're my drummer, and I was like, all right, cool.
There's no backing out.
Yeah,
now.
I was like, all right, sounds good to me.
That's kind of the way it went down.
Yeah.
Seems like I've kind of heard similar stories. You know, I've done enough of these shows now, and you get to kind of talking a lot of this, and people are always like, hey, come play, you know, sing a song with us, and then it's like, leads into like, okay, hey, how about you come up to the next show, and it's like, you know, all of a sudden you're like, they trick you into being in the band. And
you're trapped now. Yeah. You have parts, you can't leave.
Yeah, it's okay. I like it that way.
That's cool. So we're almost 2 years, I guess we decided.
Around there. Probably close to 2 years.
I guess when that first show we all played together was, but I can't
remember. Yeah, it was over 2 years ago that I started doing the solo thing here, and yeah, I mean, it was probably maybe like 7 or 8 months after that we kind of were.
I feel like it was proper summertime when
it
happened.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
So a couple more months of that, I think it would be 2 years.
So,
I want to say it was like 2 summers ago.
Yeah. Is this the third one?
Yeah. It's kind of just, it's gone by so fast in a way, like, it's been just fun, and most of it is just us listening to each other and, like, developing the songs as we go, and now a lot of the songs have kind of turned into their own pieces. Like, I just come up with the ideas, and these guys help me develop them.
Yeah. So where are we at? Are we, we got a collection of songs
We actually, like, I just started getting into the studio and recording some tracks of my own.
Yep.
That I'm gonna get these guys going on soon, so hopefully we'll have an album going sometime by Christmas.
Yeah.
If things go well. But yeah, we have a pretty good amount of original songs. I mean, play a 3-hour night show, you got to throw quite a few covers in there. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we're pretty good about picking our covers and kind of using those covers to help develop our sound a little bit more and take it a little bit further.
Sure.
And we're all very musical people, so we really kind of geek out on that side of it.
Yeah. What kind of kind of stuff we throw in for covers?
Probably his one of my
favorites. Good obscure stuff. It's fun.
Yeah.
Ween.
Yeah, I mean, we do some David Bowie.
Yeah.
We actually just learned a Prince song.
Yeah, that was gonna
show,
be fun.
Which that was a lot of fun rehearsing. I think that turned out really, really well. We also do like some bluegrassy kind of things too. It's really just kind of across the board. Like, we're all music appreciators, and we all like a bunch of different kind of stuff. So.
Sure.
We, a lot of times, we'll do our own take on it, and, you know, it's not necessarily like the original or anything like that, but I think that's a lot more fun to kind of use those things to help your band develop and get a little bit better and a little bit tighter.
Right.
Well, and here recently, like, Chris has started putting electric guitar in on our sound and expanding that a little bit. And
I've been put pedals on things.
Yeah. I've been throwing bow on the bass with some, you know, various projects and starting to put it in here, so it's kind of cool here, especially recently, how the sound is growing a bit and kind of expanding dynamically some.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think we're getting really close to really kind of honing in on what's us, and I think the original songs are really kind of helping us, like, find that sound of what we're trying to say and what's kind of our, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sound.
Sure.
Which it's really, I think it's hard for this band to really say what kind of genre we fit into. I mean,
yeah.
Sometimes we're kind of a rock band. Sometimes we're kind of a bluegrass band. Sometimes we're like a little bit maybe rockabilly. Sometimes we're funky. Like, so.
I like the funky.
Yeah. I think genre is only important when for record labels and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's just music.
We like that.
We just to play music.
It's like music. I mean, there's so much good music out there. Like, sure. Why try to put yourself in a box?
Yeah, I mean, I like bands that blend those genres, you know, and can take you on a little ride on a set. You know, you're going to get a little bit of everything, and that's always some of my favorite stuff. So it can get a bit stale when everything starts to sound the same. Yeah. You know, I went to see a guy one night at the pageant, and if I isolated like one song of his, I'd probably be like, that's a fantastic song, but they all started to sound the same, and over an hour and a half set or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it starts to all kind of blend together, mm-hmm. and it's like it just sounds like 1 hour and a half long song. And it was like, you know, if I would have just picked like that one, I'm like, oh, that would have been incredible. But like after that, I was like, when I left the night, I was like, oh, I don't know, it was all right. You know, everybody else is really into it, but you know, it's just like I like a little more dynamic in my sound. And
I think we're all in that boat too, because we're all music appreciators and we're very passionate about it. I mean, that's like, we spend a good amount of time like just doing music. I know me personally, like that's like basically all I do.
Right.
So I mean I want to get the sounds that are in my head out of my head, like, because there's just so much music that's constantly flowing through.
Sure.
Well, I think that's helped by when you do have people that are playing in some various things, you know, and bringing, you know, the sounds that they explore with others and other types of things. And
yeah, and we all have kind of our own thing that we do off on the side, too, mm-hmm. that definitely has different sounds. I mean, Shelly's in a punk band.
Yeah.
She's really fast, hardcore punk.
And, you know, punk, God.
But
such a punk. Sorry.
She's a great. She's also
not
she's
right
a great
now.
Percussionist as well. So she has like a lot to offer.
It's not a problem.
That's me doing percussion.
I guess
this is the Shelly portion.
Did you ever like going from like punk to to a little slowed down? Did you ever feel like you just want to go loose, cut loose, and you know, or is it like, is it you have different moves? Because I imagine like that YouTube video, like the drummer that showed up at the wrong gig, you know, like the rest of the band is like playing slow, and he's just going nuts.
Right. So, no, I mean, I like Chris said, all four of us are music appreciators, and I love punk rock. However, there's other music that I love just as much.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'll go to practice the band's name Skin Tags, and we'll go, and, like, I'll get all that aggression out, and then, like, I'll go practice with Toe Fire and kind of, like, chill out, lay back.
Yeah.
It gives me a little more space to kind of groove, as opposed to just being like, okay, where's the pulse?
Right.
Are we slowing down? Are we speeding up? What are we doing? You know, so, yeah. I mean, there are opportunities that I get with both bands. And I mean, if you would have asked me before I joined Toe Fire Tribe, like, if I would play, like, a bluegrass song, I would have been like, I don't know, maybe. But honestly, like, I've definitely developed a taste for it, and I really do love playing in this band.
Yeah. Cool.
Even though these three are assholes.
That's probably one of my favorite things about this group of musicians, and I think what really kind of just brought it all together was it wasn't just like our musicality together and just being able to play off each other. It was our ability to just talk to each other and like goof around and have fun, and it was just all fun. Like, I mean, we've been doing it for almost, like, I mean,
that's
2 years,
some
whatever.
Amount of time.
We're still, like, even now, I mean, we all really, like, have grown to, like, love each other even more, and yeah. we really, like, love fucking with each other a lot.
that's pretty, pretty accurate.
It keeps it so light and great. I mean,
I think you guys like
so
to fuck with me.
Well,
I just
yeah,
take it.
Colin takes the brunt of it a lot, but
specifically, I like to hit Colin. While
yeah. yeah, that's true.
One
I get
of my
with
favorite moments was Shelly was doing this drum roll at the end of a song, and she's like, where she should do the cymbal crash. She just reaches over and nails Colin in the back, and he just screams out, "Ah!"
It's like a good shot. At the it was that scene for Platoon at the end.
Yeah. It was so great. So. Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know, like, we have so much fun that you don't really know, like, what's going to happen sometimes. Like, I sometimes wish that I had all these guys mic'd so that everybody could hear the banter that I hear sometimes on the stage, because it's just hilarious.
So loud.
Well, Colin doesn't need a microphone ever, but it'd be great for everybody to hear what Shelly says behind his back.
I would like to hear what Shelly says behind my back, because
no,
I only get half of it.
I'm talking to Chris. It's a B conversation.
Fuck you. This is just rude.
I often wonder some of that, because, like, you can, you know, I've been to, like I said, shows at the pageant or whatever, and you see these bands get up there, and they all got, like, you know, in their ear pieces and stuff, and they'll, like, go back and they'll, like, say something, and you can see the rest of them start laughing. Like, you can tell they're saying, yeah, saying something to each other about everything, but it's just like, I wonder what those conversations are like on stage.
Some inside jokes going on. Right?
Yeah. Ours quickly turn pretty lewd.
Yeah. No, that's never happened.
Especially between Shelly and Colin. Yeah. Like, they, I mean, even their text messages, I'll say a simple question like, hey, you want to play this show? And then it just is all set up.
Turns into one big masturbation.
Yeah, like a masturbation conversation. And I'm like, so.
Is it every conversation?
You have to play some of that on auto spell.
Like, yeah, it's totally auto spell. That's, I'm going to go with that.
Is, yeah.
I'm going to go with that, yeah.
That is true, but
I thought this was
Colin's inability to use any kind of auto check or be able to spell.
Or just not looking at what I type. And can't spell. That's that doesn't help.
Yeah,
does not help.
I have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. So do we all meet? I mean, like, do you met through school then? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
I
know
these people through school.
Yeah.
And then him through him.
Yeah, I introduced Matt to everybody. Me and Matt have known each other for a long time, which, I mean, it was only kind of natural to, like, play with Matt in this band, because, I don't know, like, I think we've been playing so long together that I can hear what Matt's going to do on stuff, and he can hear what I'm going to do, and as our sound has developed, and I've heard, like, how he's developed on things, and I have developed, we just keep on progressing it, and we keep on building off that a lot. So that was just very, very, almost like obvious choice for me. I'm like, yeah, of course I want Matt to play with me. Like, this is super, super natural. And I mean, Shelly, I absolutely adore. Like, she's just lovable, and she's a great drummer. She's a lot of fun to be around, and I don't know, I've kind of tolerated Colin.
I'm the sex appeal. Without me, you would have no sex appeal.
You can't see it, but he is the sex appeal.
Yeah, it's a shame that people can't see me. I'm just beautiful. It's a shame. It makes me sad.
And then, so what kind of, like influences do we all bring to the band, besides Shelly's punk rock?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I did a bluegrass band for a while, so I definitely developed a lot of kind of chops and things from that. But, I mean, even before that, I was doing so many different kind of things. So, I don't know, for me, like, it's hard to nail in, like, a specific influence. And I love Chris Thiele. He's definitely an idol of mine in a lot of ways. But, I mean, there's so many people that it'd be hard to, like, say true influences. I mean, like,
sure.
Frank Zappa is, like, a
I
huge one
Zappa.
For sure, and but it just goes so far and deep. Like, I'm always interested in listening to new things and new styles, and I don't know, I like tinkering and figuring out things, so I want to, like, know what people are doing all the time.
Yeah. What made you want to pick up bass, man?
Pick up bass? Well, what made me want to pick it up is I put it down for too many years. Yeah, I mean, I played, started playing bass in jazz in high school, and after some years of that, when I went off to school, I didn't have many people around that were playing, so I put it down. It was probably 6, 7, 8 years, something like that, and I just didn't, got to a point where I was really feeling like playing again, and so I think my dad was awesome. He, like, paid for me to have, like, a lesson, and I went in, and I told the bass instructor, I was like, yeah, I hadn't played in years, right? And I go in, and I'm like, yeah, I want you to teach me how to slap the bass, you know? And he's like, well, maybe we should, like, you know, work on some scales and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I really want to, like, learn how to slap the bass, you know? So we kind of came to an agreement there, and we did, like, half slapping and half scales, but
I did that. Compromised.
Yeah, I did that a couple lessons, and then I don't know, I'm a doer and kind of take my own path, so that was about it for the lessons. But about that same time, a buddy of mine, a long-time friend of mine, probably 15, 16 years, came up and said, hey, there's these guys that just played this birthday party we were at, call themselves Elemental Shakedown, and they're like, they play bluegrass, and would you be interested in talking to them? And I was like, hell yeah. Let's do it. So it's kind of funny, because I was playing, you know, four-string electric at that point. And
yeah, so it was really fun. Like, that story about how you even got your upright bass is
right.
Great, because, like, during Elemental Shakedown's run, like, we wanted him to get an upright bass, so we sent a petition out, like, at every single show that we had for Matt to get an upright bass, and we got, like, bunches of signatures, and then he finally got it, and we were like, yep, alright, cool.
Worked.
Well, even then, like, the very day I got it, I was pushing for a rehearsal so I could, you know, start to work it. And do that. And so we, yeah, right, exactly. We all met at Tower Grove Park, and the same guy I was talking about that, you know, hooked me up with them, I kind of gave them a shout out and said, hey, you know, we're going to just get together and jam a little in Tower Grove. And 30 minutes, maybe an hour later, there was, you know, 25, 30 people that were showing up. It was just a little party out in Tower Grove Park. So
that was pretty fun. That was a lot of fun.
It was a good beginning to working up the chops on that instrument.
Yeah, really.
Tribal Fire.
It's probably 2009 or 10 or something like that.
2009er.
I see. Start playing guitar.
What about you, Alan?
I started playing guitar when I was like 19. I tried to play bass when I was younger, actually, but it only lasted like 2 weeks, and then I stopped. It wasn't my bass. I played Green Day. It was awesome. I did learn Braden Stew, and that was about it, I think. I actually picked up banjo like 6 months before I picked up the guitar, and that was like the first instrument I got into. And that was fun, but as soon as I picked up guitar, I stopped taking banjo lessons, switched guitar lessons. This is actually my first band. I joined another band since being in it, but this is my first band. I met Chris and Shelly at school, and then I met Matt through them. Met through Chris, and I don't know. I'm bad at talking sometimes. Other things happen, too.
Yeah. So we got this weekend at Venice, and then you guys are on a festival too coming up.
We're going to be doing Toco Fest this year as well, which is in August. I'm blanking on the exact date. Yeah. I think it's in August. We're also going to be doing Pop's Blue Moon on May 20th. And hopefully here we'll have a few more gigs lined up. And
yeah.
Definitely making making our presence known.
Right.
It's the 26th or 27th of August for Toko. We did pick-in last fall.
Yeah.
That first pick-in that Ryan did.
Pick on the corduroy.
Yeah, yeah. We went down and did that.
That was a ton of fun.
It was a gorgeous day that day, so it was a really, really, really good experience.
Super cool. We were the first band, so we
had to get there a little earlier.
We were getting all the people out of their campsites.
Yeah. That was a fun show, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have a
good sound.
I haven't really done a lot of the festival stuff. I've been up to Lou Fest, but that's not, I don't really consider, I mean, it is, but like, it's not the whole camping out and everything as
much. Yeah,
sure. But yeah, so I don't know. That's, there's a big one in Roots and Blues in Columbia that I really want to go see. They announced like Ben Folds and Nathaniel Ratliff and Avett Brothers and Jason Isbell.
Oh,
solid lineup of, those are just headliners. I mean, they got all kinds of other, but it's like 3 days, and I was like, man, I really want to go. And, so now I got to find somebody's house to cash out in Columbia. So, cool. I don't know, where's the Toko?
It's going to be at Jellystone.
Yeah, right past Six Flags.
Yeah,
it's not too far.
Yeah, right. It's a short little drive. It's, it's a really 30, good festival. It's a family fest, too.
Yeah, it's great.
They have several great St. Louis artists on there, like, every single year. I can't even think of how long I've been hanging out with them folks. I know Kimmy and Tony and all them. There's so many people that are just great people involved with that, and I've done volunteering with them, like, for Toko several years, and
played there. 2 years ago.
Yeah, but
that was fun.
I feel like I've done like maybe 7 or 8 years with them at a Toko Fest, and I've always tried to play my part in it because they definitely do great stuff there. Everybody should be checking out Toko and what they're all about. They actually have a new Toko like shop retail store, a thrift store over there on Cherokee. Yeah, they're great people. Everybody that's involved with that organization. So I'm always on board anytime they offer up a gig for me to play there.
Yeah, it's a strong organization. They've been doing that festival for years. Yeah, I mean, I remember going to it when it was over in the middle of Illinois.
I've been so many different places that they've had it, and they've been rocking really strong at Jellystone for the past few years.
Yep. I've only been to one, but I went 2 years ago with you and volunteered. Yeah. They let me drive the golf cart after the first day of volunteering.
That was a mistake.
They trusted me after that. It's good.
That was a great one for me because all I did was taxi running.
Yeah, I had to work the front gate the first day.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just there's so many great musicians that I really appreciate in the St. Louis music scene that are always there. Like, these are people at this point that I've been so surrounded by for so long that it's kind of like their family, and I mean, I've definitely been doing my own thing there and don't see them quite as much, but every time I see these people, like, I always consider them family.
Yeah, very cool. Rest of 2016, I mean, we're hoping to put a record together, saying, maybe by the end of the year, and anything else, anything we're looking forward to, or?
I think gigging, but I mean, for me personally, I think the idea of really trying to make this a lot more of an original band and develop what we have to offer in our sound. So, I mean, covers are great. I'd rather pick obscure covers than do everything that people are doing all around town, but
yeah,
I think that, you know, original music and actually being able to put your voice out there and being able to put your part on it is so much more stronger.
Sure. See, I think there is something to, like you're saying, picking more obscure stuff. Like, I told a story on here before, and I asked her about it, and she she claims that if it happened, she must have been really drunk because. but I saw Emily.
I already like the story.
Yeah, I saw Emily Wallace at Broadway Oyster Bar one night.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, one of my favorites to watch, and she did Erykah Badu's Tyrone, which I've never seen anybody else do Tyrone, and
she killed it.
Yeah, and it's like, and I asked her, like, every time I see her, I'm like, hey, you should do that, because like it was incredible. I mean, my memory of it was incredible, and. You know, again, it was just an obscure kind of song that nobody else can even has the chops to do. But she, Emily's got, you know, crazy vocal range.
Yeah, she does.
Do that stuff. And but anyway, yeah. So I mean, there's a lot to that to where you can if you can pull out something that somebody hasn't heard in a while and nobody else is really doing it. Like it's something to grab people's attention.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially the music appreciators out there.
Right.
We're all music appreciators, and we don't want to do the same stuff that we've heard everybody else do. Like we,
Brown Eyed Girl.
If anybody asks me to pull Wagon Wheel again, I am at the point that I might smack them.
If they write it on a $100 bill, I'll play Wagon Wheel.
Yeah. And that's going to be just Shelley.
And I don't know any of the words besides wagon wheels.
We already talked about this. It's boom, chuck, boom, chuck, wagon wheel.
Boom,
chuck, boom, chuck, wagon wheel. Boom, chuck, boom. That's all I got to do.
We can start saying wheels on the bus, wheels on the wagon.
Wheels on the wagon. That's one of the cool things about St. Louis, though, too, is like there is enough of a music love. That's kind of, you know, just part of the area that you can pull out some stuff that's a little different and people will recognize it and really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a cool place.
Yeah, definitely. I was on the way down, man. I had my 90s on 9 in my car and my satellite radio I had cranked up and I was singing Give Me One Reason from Tracy Chapman.
That's a bomb like 3 days ago.
And then right after that was TLC's Creep. So,
oh, man, nice.
So that's a good one, too.
Yeah, nice. Singing along.
I can't think of TLC without thinking of the other guys, so that movie is just hilarious.
That
movie's
great. The other guys is fantastic.
Yeah, that's
they like it first.
I don't know. I mean, it's a great movie, but it's also one of the lesser Will Ferrell quoted ones because of, you know, Step Brothers, I think, was so quotable.
We can say, Gators bitches better be wearing Jimmy's. I mean, come on. Who put that baby in you?
This is Colin's portion.
I will take the Gator lines.
Movie lines.
What? That's all that's up in here in my brain is movie quotes and song lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. There's lots of that.
In video games.
We'll go for hours then on this.
I live my life through quotes. I don't know. Sure. I don't do it any other way.
You don't actually say things. You just quote things.
Yeah, I just quote movies and like stupid stuff that I hear from other people. It's great. I'm happy doing that.
Sure. Yeah, I listen to a ton of stand-up comedy too, so like people will say something or I'll be in a similar situation and I'm like, it all, you know, oh yeah, there's a comedian that's got a joke that, like, this situation or whatever, you know, like I just happen to have to quote it because that's all that comes to my brain.
Right.
Well, so whenever I find myself in that situation, I always try to, like, quote them, but I mess it up all the time. Right. And so everybody just kind of looks at me.
We will.
And I'm laughing, but no one else is.
Well, fuck you guys. I'm hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess you had to be there.
Yeah.
I was hanging out the other night with the Fade.
Yeah, we know them guys.
We went to school with Crystal. Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, I know that Fade.
Actually, I'm going to be a groomsman in his wedding.
Hey-o.
And I just got invited. Or texted for my address so I could get invited.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we were hanging out, and they said something about, you know, like, meeting people, you know, in radio or something, just as an example, and then, like, immediately my brain went to the Wayne's World scene where, you know, he meets Handsome Dan on the radio, and also he's like, I'm not Handsome Dan, that's Handsome Dan, and, like, you know, so, like, that whole scene was, like, replaying in my head as they're talking, and I was like, I have to address this.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Well, I guess I didn't get invited to the wedding, Christo.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
I'm expecting it any day in the mail.
Oh, shit. You didn't go to school with it, man. You didn't earn it. Didn't earn it.
Just a little bit of guilt portion of the
You got a guilt trip.
I'll bring you as my date, and then you can be you can guilt trip him the whole time.
There you go.
I want Matt to be my date.
Okay. Sure.
Can we share him?
You can have him.
All right. All right. Hey, Matt.
Band controversy.
We made a compromise already. That was pretty quick.
Like, the band broke up because they couldn't figure out who was going to be Matt's date.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I was the one that was upset that it wasn't Matt. Fuck you all.
Shelly kept saying, I don't care. Colin was like, he's mine.
It's pretty accurate.
Well, I did see a video you guys doing this space from the community college the other day, I guess.
Yeah,
February or something.
Yeah, it was in February. That's one of my originals that I wrote. I'm actually pretty proud of that one. It just kind of came together really, really well, and it's been a lot of fun to play and develop and turn into something beautiful.
Sure. Now you mentioned earlier being a songwriter and things. So you write these and then bring them. Do you have like a concept already, or do you let everybody kind of?
Sometimes I do. I mean, I'm pretty open to ideas, and a lot of times I think I kind of write songs to that are a little bit easy to play with, and like things just kind of seem to fall into place pretty easily.
Kind of open ended.
Yeah. So. It's really easy to kind of have that conversation as a musician with the other person, because the songs, within their simplicity, it's a lot easier to make them more complex as we like kind of talk to each other in the song and develop it. And most times it's just us kind of like playing them at a show, and you know, somebody will hit something and I'm like, do that again. You know, or you know, I mean, like any band, you know, you'll sit there and rehearse something and you might nitpick a little bit and want to get the groove just right and stuff like that, but yeah, pretty much all my songs, I almost like write them as if I'm just gonna be sitting there playing them acoustic for myself, because they're very personal songs to myself.
So
it's really, really cool.
Well, it's been cool, like playing in a couple projects over the years, and playing a couple projects with Chris over the years, where you know, now we're doing couple of the tunes like Long Hard Ride and Too Damn Tired that, you know, were total, previous incarnations were total like bluegrass songs.
I remember watching Elmo
Fiddle,
Shake,
banjo, mandolin, everything, and you know, and now they're taking on a whole another life to them at this point. Mixing them up, changing the instrumentation on them, and you know, getting to kind of do something a little different with it. So that's a pretty cool perspective on it, actually.
Yeah, I love, like, you know, we were talking a little bit about the covers and stuff, but even an original, the same effect. But, like, you think of, like, guys that, like the Johnny Cash cover Nine Inch Nails and stuff, how, like, it's the same words.
Yeah.
Totally different arrangement, different spin on the song, and it takes on a whole different meaning and things, so... It is kind of neat how you can take, you know, still on paper same song, but flip it and make it something completely different piece of work and stuff. So.
Well, and sometimes that, like, that next version, wherever you're going with it, sometimes that even sounds, like, more right for what it, you know, might have even supposed to be, you know.
Sure.
So, once in a while.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a, it is, I mean, even you also mentioned doing a Prince song, and that's kind of, we're seeing a lot of that now with after Prince passed and everything, everybody's been putting out these, you know, tribute versions and stuff. And like you hear, not that they're better or whatever, but you know, it's just fun to hear different artist interpretations of these songs and things.
Yeah.
So I always find that stuff's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I think creativity inspires more creativity. So, I mean, you're always going to get people will have other cool ideas to throw onto it. And so, but yeah, that's neat.
It's interesting, too, because since this band became a band, there are times when we're playing Chris turns around and goes, "We've never played this song before." And I go, "Okay." Sure.
We did that open mic a couple weeks ago, the three of us, and we played that new song. We'd heard it, I think I heard it once. He sent me a recording of it, and we just was like, "Oh, well, I don't even know what the chords are. Let's play it."
Yeah.
And it just fell right into place. Yeah. It was like, "Okay, I feel where I can fit in right now."
That's just our style. Surprise Shelly with stuff.
When we played it a second time, it was even more fun.
Well, I'm usually just like, "Okay, yeah, this one's in 6/8.
Right, cool.
You got all the names, most of the names of the songs now.
Yeah. I have all of our original names down.
You do?
There are songs that I've never heard the originals that we cover. I mean, I want to hear the originals, but to have it. Yeah. I don't know.
I pick and choose all over the place, so.
You've never picked a bad song, I feel like. We've always been like fun.
I have a good shit detector, I think.
I like all of the songs that we play. I wouldn't be here if that wasn't true.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we got, like I said, the Venice this weekend. That's Saturday the 7th, and you can come out and hear some of these originals and some covers, right?
Yeah, we'll be playing all night.
All night long.
9 to 1?
Yeah.
Like, why not Richie, baby?
Definitely come out and, like, experience the awesome patios that, like, opens up this year. It's like, one of my favorite times. Like, you know,
this is a great spring, time summer of year to come to the Venice. Yeah.
Like, the back opens.
Yeah. That's true.
You know it's on.
And, I mean, it's such a work of art in this building. Like, everything about it is just a work of art, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I am surprised when I hear that people haven't heard about it or don't even know where it's at, because I'm like, wow, like, this is such a great treasure in St. Louis.
Except for the headless Barbies over here. That's a little
There's plenty of creepy stuff, but that's what makes it so great.
I just looked over here and
Well, I've been here like 60 times. Every time you come, you see something new.
Yeah. Over here's the heads. Over here's the bodies.
A great work of art.
Like, my parents used to come here like 20, 30 years ago, back in the day, where they found out I was starting to play here. They were like, all excited. And they're like, "Oh, I've been there 20 years."
Yeah. And I love that about Pops over on the east side. Their like slogan now is "Come party like your parents did."
I didn't know that was their slogan. That's great.
All night.
I always want to stay away from Pops.
I haven't been there in years.
I got a bunch of friends that play over there, local modern rock stuff. So it's cool that Pops is a big supporter of local music.
Yeah, that's great. It's a big venue, too. Yeah. So they can definitely hold a crowd. I've had to swim through a sea of people before.
I've done that. Yeah.
But yeah, anybody supporting local music is cool in my book. So
yeah, I agree.
There's no shortage of people out there looking for somewhere to play. I mean, there's a lot of great bands in town, and luckily we do have a lot more venues popping up. I mean, as always, there are some closing, which is always a bummer, but there was always somebody new opening up in a different part of town, wherever the new cool spot to hang out is and stuff, and it's always kind of always evolving. I know they're getting ready to open up that or they just knocked down the old building and are getting ready to build up, but the new Del Mar Hall on Del Mar Loop there and stuff. And
oh, cool.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
It's gonna be like a new 600-800 person venue or something like that.
Sweet.
Cool.
Yeah.
See, this is educational too.
Yeah.
It's like literally right next door to the pageant. So, hopefully, people will act like it's gonna be really cool.
I'll hamper it.
It does say we're working.
Yeah.
And I am a man.
I'm hardly working.
That's true.
We're working on some radio gold. That's what we're
doing. Yeah, baby.
Platinum.
I want the myrrh.
I want frankincense.
No. Can't have it.
You're a dick.
I don't want anything.
You're a dick.
Fuck you.
Well, we can throw some tracks on. What do we want to play for that?
I think this space would be a great one to check out. It really captures a lot of things about us. I'm also thinking Long Hard Ride is another one that we all just kind of geek out on that song. That song definitely came to me in an explosion of inspiration. And like Matt was saying, played that song at the Bluegrass Band, and I mean, I'm not going to ever let that song go, because it's
always like, resonated really well with the audience too.
Yeah,
always.
It's just, I don't know, that song, it wrote itself. It just kind of came.
I remember
like,
watching
really quickly.
Stone Street, or
that's what she said.
El Metal Shakedown do that song, and I always loved it back when. I remember seeing that
song. It's always been fun to see, like, because that song definitely it has. I've been playing it for several years, and it's developed quite well in so many different ways. And bringing it to this band, it's just made it kind of explode. Like, it's taken this kind of bluegrassy, like, fast rhythmic thing and turned it into this like crazy almost rock kind of song that still has these really
two-steppy rock,
like these really fast rhythms,
energy.
Yeah, that was you can't help but be pumped up when you play that.
That's so, my favorite song. Probably.
Yeah, I've broken more strings on that song than any other goddamn song. It's like, you just get so fucking into it. You're just like, let's fucking do it.
That's a good
one. That'll be the.
I think so.
Two, I want everybody to check out for sure, to really kind of see even like the kind of more ballady, like slow kind of side to us, and the more raging, crazy side of us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when you were talking about the coming to you in an explosion like that, like I thought of, I heard Neil Young on Howard Stern one time, and he was telling a story about like going to this fever of some sort, and he was like laid up in the hospital bed and all this, and he like just requested a notepad or you know something like that, and he just started writing, and like. You know, and he's like all in this fever haze and things, just started writing, and then all of a sudden, like afterwards, you know, he starts like looking at what he wrote and transcribing it to, and he ended up like writing like Cinnamon Girl and all these like big hit songs out of that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's kind of crazy where inspiration is going to come from sometimes. Yeah. And
hallucination is good inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah, it will come in waves, just like hallucinations.
I got a fever.
It's a lot of fun when, because I have a few songs that kind of came out that way, and I think, I don't know, there's something that just kind of happens when that happens. Like, it's like you have this thing that just has to come out of you, right. And you have no control of it whatsoever. You just have to put it out, like,
sure.
And then you look, like, go back and look at it, and you're like, wow, that just came out. Like, this is gonna be great. And I don't know, I think I hold on to those kind of songs a little bit more. I mean, I've dabbled in writing my fair share of really crappy songs and songs that I'll never play for anybody, because I'm like, wow, look, that is just horrible.
I said, what?
I mean, and actually, like, it's kind of funny because the last song that I kind of brought to the table, it was almost in that kind of situation where I wrote the song, I really loved the lyrics that I wrote, but I never could get the music right for it, and I could never really kind of express what the song was kind of saying, and I just didn't think I was at that point to really express those words, and I was rereading it, and I just felt the rhythm at that point, like, I knew what the song was actually trying to do, and, like, what the rhythm of the song was, and it just instantaneously, I was able to hop right on my guitar and start singing along with the chords, and knew exactly what changes I wanted to do, because I could just hear it in my head. So I think developing my skill level has definitely helped me with that ability, but that whole explosion, it's wonderful when, like, things lyrically or musically or anything comes out of you like that. I mean, we're all kind of constantly picking at the cosmos for that kind of inspiration and wanting that to hit us, and sometimes we get blocked up because
there's an album
title, like,
Picking at the Cosmos.
You like that? It's great. You said that yesterday. We were talking about something. I liked it then too.
It is kind of. I listen to a lot of these other podcasts, and there's these guys. It's called About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray, and they just say, you know, organically in conversation, some weird phrasing of something will come out, and then like they'll be like, you know, they'll refer to it like as a band title, like you know, and he's like, oh yeah, I think they're playing Coachella this year, and stuff like that. And so it is kind of funny how organically in a conversation, you know, things like an album title or band names and stuff like come out. And, so
we're not forcing it. That's usually what it's
sure. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna write the. It's on tape now. It's on this.
That's right.
So can't we'll, forget it now.
Yeah. Well, very cool. I guess we'll look to close this thing out. You can, again, come see him Saturday the 7th right here at Venice Cafe.
About 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. And you can see him at the Toco Festival, right?
Yeah. In, August 27th, I think, is 26th. The date that we're playing.
Yeah.
And before that, we're at Pops Blue Moon, yeah, Pops 20th. Yeah.
20th of May.
Follow them on Facebook and
Facebook. We're on Twitter and social media.
We have a Twitter.
Yeah, we do have
a
Twitter.
I tweet.
He tweets. Someone's tweeting.
Yeah, we're also like on things like Reverb Nation and all that kind of stuff. So we got YouTube stuff. I have videos that I will definitely be loading up as well here in the near future of us just doing things. Especially shows, like getting some live things just to kind of, so people have something to check out. I think YouTube is a great resource to be able to see what a band looks like and is what they're doing.
I think, I've got some friends that are, like, you know, just making, you know, even on their phones and things, you know, just jamming out and stuff like that. Any of that stuff, like, where you can continually provide content, I mean, even if it's just, a cover song or whatever, but just keeping people engaged on social media and stuff, because I think that's how a lot of people are building, you know, strong fan bases and stuff. They're always, you know, hitting them with a new video every week or something like that. It's just like, I think it's a cool way to keep people involved, you know, from in between shows and stuff like that. So
yeah, we agree.
So yeah, I think that's the fun of I had a conversation the other day about how, like, you know, Twitter and stuff, and how crazy this is that I can instantly contact you guys. You know, if I want to say something, I can send you a tweet or Facebook or whatever. And it's like, I was like thinking about, like, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, and like I get these like fan club email, you know, addresses, and have to handwrite letters to them.
Yeah,
and
I totally remember those days too.
You know, so it's like, it's just kind of crazy that now you can do that in, you know, 10 seconds or whatever. So
back in my day, we had no computers.
Right, yeah.
We played Oregon Trail.
There was no internet.
I didn't play Oregon Trail, but I'm the youngest and the prettiest.
Yeah. I did play Oregon Trail, and I'm only a year older than you. How is that possible?
I played Oregon Trail, too.
Oh, well,
but I'm still the prettiest and the youngest, so it's all that matters.
You got a typhoid fever.
We could not ford the river. I was just bought a bunch of bullets and went hunting all the time. And like, you just fill up your cart, you're like, oh, you lost 200 pounds of spoiled meat. It's like, shit. Well, better go hunting again.
Well, cool. So stick around for this space, right?
Yeah, this space and a long, hard ride.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks so much for everybody.
And about, too.
Well, you had to come see us live.
Okay, fine.
That's really explosive.
That one is explosive. I love that tune.
No, yeah, thanks a lot, Shane.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Really enjoying this. This is great.
Yeah, Shane is a treasure to St. Louis, everybody.
Yeah, this is a cool thing.
Treasure again.
You're like, what? You're at like 190 some different episodes?
You're saying you're up to 200 now?
200 now?
This will be like 215 or something.
215? Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. That's impressive. I was telling somebody that today, and they're like, no way. I got to go check that out. That's amazing.
Yeah, man. I'm in. Doing like 3 a week, a little while ago. I did like 5 1 week, just getting them all out there because everybody had dates that weekend, so I threw them all out there. And, I don't want to oversaturate it. Like, I think 3 is a good fair amount. Like, I mean, they're all online 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher, and rockpaperpodcast.com for come and check out some of the back catalog and stuff. So
yeah, definitely check it out.
Sweet.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the nice words. And
sure.
So I'll see you all very soon. And,
all right, man. Definitely.
So, Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We said that in the same inflection. Thank you. Fuck you, Shelly. I will fight you now that the camera, the thing's off. All right. So.
Rock, 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 rock